Well, praise the Lord. That was a blessing. You know, Pastor Mike, it's interesting because I wasn't sure what I was going to preach. I was all set when I came here that I knew what I was going to preach on, you know, the messages that I had to preach. Now, I'm doing something totally different tonight. That ought to scare you. I don't have any notes on it. That ought to really scare you. When we get into that at our church, that usually means it's long and you never know where it's going. Amen? But that's okay too, and I'll try not to keep you too late. We do have sleeping bags. No, I'm just kidding. He'll turn the AC down to 40 to keep you awake. But no, I don't think it'll be a problem. But I didn't know. I wasn't sure exactly what I was going to preach tonight. I just didn't feel led to preach the sermon that I had prepared for it, and I didn't know why. And you know, then about last night, after Brother Reg preached, Satan started attacking me like crazy. I mean, it was just relentless. For like the whole night. I mean, I slept fine, thank the Lord. But as soon as I woke up, man, it was on. Right there, and I'm like, oh. And I've learned not to really tell anybody about that, brother. Just keep that to myself and pray. I mean, I'll tell somebody like you to pray for me. But I usually don't tell anybody about that because I don't want to trouble them. Because half the time, you wouldn't understand it. Sometimes it's very unique and it's hard to explain, you know, the relentless attacks of Satan. It's a psychological, spiritual warfare all mixed into one. And he's a master at it. He's been doing it for a long time. And he knows how to do it. Let me say something. I believe Brother Reg coming last night, I believe God used that to open some things up. I believe it cleared the way for some things. I know God did that. I know He did, and I know He used that on purpose. God used that. He sent him here to clear some things. Amen? And that's what happened. I believe that. I believe that's what happened. Because I heard him preach tonight, and I could tell that's what happened. I just knew it. God showed us that. But He never shows us all right away. We don't always understand that. But He did it. And we don't even know. Sometimes we don't even know what God's doing. Most of the time, it's just, we don't know everything that God is doing and how He wants to do it. We don't know how that all goes together. But all things work together for good, right? To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Amen. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 119.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you why we're going there tonight, because I talked to Pastor Mike this morning and I was like, you know, brother, what would you say your main focus is, what you believe the Lord would have you to see? Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have that answer this morning, brother. I asked you that this morning, and God waited all day to show me that. All day long, I'm being attacked like crazy by Satan. And you know what? I was about 10 miles outside of Festus in a traffic jam. And all of a sudden, my head wasn't jammed up anymore. God had given me some liberty, and God had showed me some things. And I got here, and I sat down, and God brought me. Said, "Well, if it's the Word of God, then I think we ought to go to Psalm 119." And Psalm 119 is a perfect example of that. Amen. And then what He said tonight, what Pastor Mike was preaching tonight about the rejecting the Word of the Lord. And I've talked to you, I've preached twice now on the differences in the other versions compared to the King James Bible. Well, now I think it important as we close out here to preach directly on the King James Bible.
Yeah.
To preach the Word of God to you, to strengthen your hearts and your minds. And you know what? This chapter of the Word of God is very long, so I don't think we'll get through it all. I don't think. Depends on how long we stay. But when God says, "I'm done, I'm done." Amen? And He might use Pastor Mike to tell me that too. But anyway, when He starts keeling over there and it's time to go, and anyway, but we'll know. But listen, thank you. Our family's been blessed to be here. And we always are blessed to come here. And we were here in November, I think it was, and had a good time here with everyone. And we're blessed. And we came back, Pastor Mike invited us back. We had Pastor Mike up here about a month ago into Northfield, about a month and a half ago. And the folks had a great time. They learned a lot, and they were very excited about what they had learned. And, you know, it strengthens your faith when you hear from, you know, when you hear from other pastors, when you hear from other people, it helps your church. It strengthens their faith to know. It makes them realize, you know, we're not the only ones out here. There's other people that believe this book. There's other people that love the Lord. There's other people that are having the same struggles that you're having. They're going through the same things. They got friends that are dying. They got family members that are going to hell. They've got things that they're facing. Right? We're all going through it. There's sometimes I text him and he texts me, and man, we're going through it. It helps to have somebody to be able to say, you know, pray for me. It's one of those days. Amen? So let's look at the Bible. Let's pray first. Father, we need You. Lord, help us. Please, help Your children. We need it, Lord. Feed us as only You can do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. I want to ask you, I'm going to ask you some questions tonight, and I really don't want you to answer me. Think of it as I'm reading the Word of God to you, and God is asking you these questions. God is posing questions to you. You know, when Job had some problems, right? Job was going through some afflictions and things like that. What happened? He had some questions put to him by God, didn't he? And I think any time that we're going through something in our lives, or any time the Bible's there to challenge our hearts and our lives, to build us, but God asks us some questions. And let me ask you, Are you the one that walks in the law of the Lord? Ask yourself that question. Am I walking in the law of the Lord? Is that my desire? You know, I'm not asking you where you go to church. I'm not asking you who your pastor is. I'm not asking you how long you've been saved. I'm asking you, are you walking in the law of the Lord? Think about that. There's a blessing that God gives to His people that walk in the law of the Lord. You believe that, don't you? I hope you do. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. You know, Christianity, the biblical salvation, this Christian life, God wants our hearts. The Bible says, "My son, give me thine heart." God doesn't want just part of you. What Pastor Reg said last night was so true. I've seen it in fundamentalism. I've watched it. You can put a uniform on somebody. You can get the right size, the right outfit. You can get the right skirt on them. You can get the right dress on them. And you know what? Their heart ain't moved at all.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've watched it. And I watch them go out with a bastardized Christianity out the door and curse their mother and father and curse the day that they ever walked into a church. I've seen these. I've watched them. I'm telling you, I don't care what church you go to in that sense. It doesn't matter. If you haven't given your whole heart to God, if God doesn't have your whole heart, I'm talking to you young people here tonight. I'm telling you, I'm talking to you. I want you to understand something. If God doesn't have your heart, you're in more trouble than you realize. Because you're in the most danger. You're in the most danger. You know why? You're in danger of doing what Saul did, rejecting the Word of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, you're in danger of that. Look, I love you, and that's why I want to make you uncomfortable tonight. Do you understand that? It's because I love you. If I didn't, I would just whisper some sweet nothings up here, make you feel good about yourself, and go home and you'd pat me on the back and say, I love you, man. You're the greatest thing since sliced bread. But most people don't say that to me. Right? They just don't. Now, they do love getting right with God. When you're a child of God, you'll love getting right with God. You know the best part about being wrong with God is you can get right. Did you know that? That's the best part of it. That's the only good part about being wrong is that you can get right. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It'd be a wonderful thing if you did seek the Lord with your whole heart. Wouldn't it? Says here, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. They do no iniquity. What does that mean? They don't live in sin. Doesn't mean they never sin. It means they don't live in it. They don't love it. They don't follow after it. We know that Christians sin because the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? That's what God says in His Word. Thank God for that. But it's not an excuse to sin. It's a reason not to. You know, when you get saved by the grace of God, the one thing you'll do is not want to abuse the grace of God. You won't want to. You know why? Because you're so thankful for a forgiving God that you won't want to live like the devil. And if you ever get caught up, God will deal with you. Amen?
Amen.
They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Again, are you walking in the law of the Lord? Are you walking in His ways? What good does it do you if you have the book, but you never read it, you never apply it to your life, and you never follow its precepts? Saul had the word of the Lord, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had God's word. He had Samuel for an example.
Right.
Do you understand that? He had Samuel for an example. I never take for granted that my children are going to be saved. Children take work. Spiritual work. Hard work. I don't take that for granted, and you shouldn't either. We ought to be diligently seeking their salvation. Now, we can't save them, but we can pray for them, and we can guide them, and we can teach them. But ultimately, they have to make that decision. And if we've done all that we can for them, God does not hold us accountable for that.
Amen.
Do you understand that? As hard as that is. He goes on to say, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Well, now here's a question for you. Do you keep God's precepts diligently? Alert with alert, due attention? Do you strive to keep God's Word? What is your answer? Parents, what is your answer to your children if they ask you something? Is it, thus saith the Lord, no, you cannot because of what God's Word says? Or yes, you can because God says that's okay. That's not bad. Is that your answer? Do you diligently keep His precepts? See, this is where the rubber meets the road, Christianity. Right? I'm going to tell you, I know a lot of people. I'm going to tell you what, I've met a lot of devils, in human form that is, that have waved this King James Bible and been the most wicked people you have ever met in your life.
Yep.
Meanest, nastiest bunch of people would stick you one. Judas was one of them, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I preached a message called Judas Went to Hell from a Baptist Pew, and you can too.
Yeah. Truth.
That made a lot of friends. Look what he says here. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Have you ever prayed that? God, don't let me fall. Don't let me fall. You know, I'm sitting back there when he's preaching, and I'm in tears back there when he's talking about some of those things, about God saying, you know what, I could use anybody. I don't need you. I can use anybody. I think every preacher has to have a time in their life where God shows them that. Yeah, amen. It scared me too. I know I went through it a year ago. And it wasn't anything, you know what? There wasn't any drama going on with anybody in the church or anything. It was God dealing with me. Nobody else knew. It was me God was dealing with. I'll tell you what, I'd rather face down a gang of devils any day than have the Lord deal with me as harshly as He is able to. Do you understand that? I'd rather fight. Because I know if I'm fighting devils, God's on my side. But when God's not on your side and God's against you because He's dealing with you, it's kind of like you when you're a kid and you're running around not obeying and you run into that brick wall, call a mom or a dad. Thud. You don't get around God's rod. I'm going to tell you what. There ain't enough scary devils in the world compared to my Heavenly Father having a problem with me. I'm going to tell you that right now, because you ain't running from Him anywhere.
Amen.
If you're in a ship, the bottom of a ship in the sea, He knows where you're at. David said, if I make my bed in hell, Thou art there. You ain't running from God. No, sir, you will never run from God. You won't get very far. Because why? Because in Him we live and move and have our being. Right?
Yeah.
It's called the immensity of God.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. The omnipresence of God. Right? Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. Man, there's so much. I want to show you something here. There was a time in my life about 2 years ago. And I don't know if you can see this from there. You see all these highlights?
Yeah.
See all those? Well, God put me down in a place about 2 years ago, and He said, you're going to need me more than you know. And I'm going to show you just how much. And I combed this book of Psalms. And I combed it. Why? Because I needed it to survive, because I thought I was going to die. And there wasn't anything physically wrong with me. Do you understand that? I needed it. And I went verse by verse through everything. And God was dealing with me. Still is, but He was dealing with me. Do you have respect unto all His commandments? Or do you pick and choose the commands you want to obey? Do you pick and choose the ones that are easier or socially acceptable to obey? You know, this one won't rock a boat. People won't be too upset. Nobody will be upset with my stand if I don't do this or if I don't go too far. Listen, it's time God's people get all in and go all the way. We're in trouble tonight. Churches are in trouble tonight. And they're in trouble because God's people won't go all the way. They won't be all in. They're holding back. They're holding back because they're worried about what people think about them. Meanwhile, like Brother Red said, the Sodomites, the queers, they're all coming out of the closet. Christians are all going inside. It ain't the prayer closet. They're going in to hide in the closet. They're afraid what somebody's going to think about what they say. But do you have respect unto all God's commands? David said, then shall I not be ashamed. You know, you won't be ashamed before God if you have respect to all His commands. Do you respect Him? What does that mean? It's a godly fear. It's a reverence. Right? David goes on to say, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. Do you learn His righteous judgments? Do you study them to know if you're right with Him? That righteousness, it's dealing uprightly with our fellow man, right? When we do that to our fellow man, but first with God. God is righteous. God is holy. Do you know His judgments? His judgments are perfect. You know, you and I pay lip service to that. Oh, sure, we know God's judgments are perfect. Yeah, when the judgment comes on you, do you still say that? Can I be the first to tell you that there have been times in my life where I've said, God, I don't know what You're doing here, but I don't like it. Right? You ever done that? It's always good to, you know, we can always pay lip service to things, but when it's time to live them, it's a little bit different. When that rod comes down on you and God does bring some judgment down on you, is God still right? Is the judge of all the earth still right? Think about that. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Why is he praying this? Because he felt like God had forsaken him. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Some of you don't. And it's okay. I'm not belittling you. Man, if you're in the time of your Christian life where it is all joy, 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 praise God. And you are not at the, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. We have the joy of the Lord too. But there's going to come a day when that's challenged. There comes a day when God says no. You know, God, I talked about this before, but God gave me so many unedited victories for 15 years straight in the ministry. Brother, I'm telling you what, it was great. I ran through, I leaped over troops, I leaped over walls, I ran through everything, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, and then all of a sudden one day God said, no.
Yeah. Amen.
No, not now.
Yeah.
No, not now. Now how are you going to handle it? Am I still right? Will you still serve me when the lights go out and it's dark? Now, it's easy to say yes until you go through it. Man, I was one of those guys that looked at everybody and said, well, yeah. I mean, yeah. But when it happens, it's not that easy. It takes faith. And by the way, it's not in us. It's God's gift to us. Amen. It's not us. It's the faith of Christ. Amen. David said, oh, forsake me not utterly. I like this one. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You want to keep your way clean? You want to cleanse your way? Young man or young woman, do you want to keep your way clean? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's how you cleanse your way. That's how you keep your way clean. That's how you don't get dirty and defiled. Amen?
Yeah.
David said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments.
Yeah,
again, he says, my whole heart, God, I've sought thee. Let me not wander. Wander. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible for you to wander away from God?
Oh, yeah.
Sure is. Man, I'll tell you what. One of the things I've prayed ever since I've been conscious of understanding that, I guess, and pretty close to when I was first saved, a little bit after that, was for the Lord to keep me from falling, because I knew it was possible. I just saw it all around me,
yeah.
And it scared me. I'm going to tell you what. I get scared when I hear about men falling. Like I don't go like, well, what's the matter with that loser? Like, what happened? I get scared. It drives me to prayer. Lord, please help me. I don't want to be that. I don't want to do that, Lord. I don't want to be that. Please don't let me be that.
Yeah.
I've wept tears to God. Yeah. Lord, don't let me fall, please.
Amen.
Don't let me fall.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Don't let me fall, please. I don't want to ruin somebody's life. I don't want to ruin my family. I don't want to ruin the church. I don't want to ruin others. I don't want to discourage people, Lord. I don't want to do that.
Right.
Don't let me fall. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Well, you know the question. Do you hide his word in your heart? Do you hide it deep down in your heart? You young people, I'm not talking about a homework assignment here. I'm talking about your devotion to God. Do you have a devotion to God? Do you have a private time with the Lord? I don't even mean one that's mandatory. I mean, do you have it on your own? Do you have a desire to know God? Do you devote time to Him? Sacred time to Him that is only yours and God's? And do you spend time with God? Do you take His word and hide it in your heart that you might not sin against Him? Good question. How about for you older folks? Have you been saved too long in your eyes that you don't need to have that time with the Lord every day? Do you think you're stronger than that? Do you think that because you've been saved for many years that you won't fall? Do you really believe that? Are you deceived enough into thinking that, hey, I'm going to be fine. I've been saved for 40 years. I'm not one of these little kids running around here. I'm not like those guys. I've been saved a long time. May I remind you that in the Bible, there's a warning for older men more than there are for younger men? Because the Bible talks about the younger men being strong. But it says, it talks about the older men and the danger they have of falling. Do you have a desire to finish the race? Do you? You better get in this book. You better hide this word in your heart. You better get in God's word. You could wander. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Okay, here's another one. Lots of questions tonight. When you open up the Bible, do you ask God to teach you? Do you? Or do you just read it as a homework assignment so you're done with it? Do you ask God's Spirit to teach you? To guide you? To direct you? Do you ask Him to? Some people say, well, I don't get a lot sometimes. Well, have you ever asked God for a lot? If you don't ask Him for anything, He won't give you anything. Because He wants you to, well, He may give you something because He's merciful. Amen. But He'll give you a lot more if you ask Him. If you say, Lord, please open Your Word up and teach me. There's no better teacher of the Bible than the Holy Spirit. Look, Pastor Mike, He can't teach you like the Holy Spirit can. He can't. I can't teach you like the Holy Spirit can. That's why you getting alone with God in this book and learning from God is what you need to do. You have to. You know, He can preach 10 times a week to you. But if you're not desiring the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, if you're not reading every day, if you're not studying every day, you know, I recommend people having a little notebook or something. I recommend you having that. You jotting down some things every day. One thing that God shows you that day. Because here's what I wonder. If you went over to the Mormons and everybody else and the Jehovah's Witnesses and everything, you know, they could have tons of material for you and they could show you a ton of things from their false perversions. Yeah. But you know, I wonder if God's people every day, if somebody asks them, what did you learn in your Bible today? Would you be able to share anything? Is there something that you learned in God's Word that you could share with somebody? Good question. By the way, that's not just a pastor's duty. You understand that, don't you? That's your duty as Christians. You're to have something that you could share with others. Some of you moms, all of you mothers ought to be able to have something to share with your children. Amen. You're the one that you raise the preachers. You know that? You raise them. You raise the preachers, you raise the godly wives, you raise them. There's been no great men without great women. Amen. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. David said his lips would declare. What do your lips declare? Things of the world or things of God? What's on your mind and your mouth every day? What is the bulk of your conversation? I know we got to go to work and not everybody's a pastor. I'm not asking that. God doesn't expect that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about in your time, when you have time, what's on your mind and heart? What is it? Is it God's Word? Or is it something else? It ought to be God's Word. God is a book of remembrance for those that what? Those that speak His Word. Right? There's a book. God's keeping track. Amen? Think about that. I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies. As much as in all riches. I wonder, does money make you happy more than the testimonies of God? Are you driven more by money and the world than you are the things of God? You know, I've seen people that have been given everything this world has to offer. I've seen the saints of God be distracted by money, by things. And it's a shame. I've seen men given everything you could imagine. Beautiful wife, children, a good church. And I've seen them follow money and chase the world right out the door. They were given everything. Everything. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Okay. Now here's a question for you. Another question. Remember, we need this Bible, right, every day. What are you meditating on? What are you thinking on? You know what meditation is? It's like the cows chewing the cud. It just goes slow over and over again in your mind. Over and over again in your mind. Yes, it does. You know what? Sometimes we can forget that we're supposed to be meditating when Satan's throwing us into circular reasoning and he's messing with our minds, that we're supposed to meditate on good things.
Yeah.
Think on these things, which are all attributes of Christ, by the way, when you look at them. They are Jesus. That's what they are. They're God's Word. They're Jesus. Amen! Are you meditating? Are you chewing on God's Word in your mind? Think about it. Please. Practice. You ought to practice. Look, meditation on God's Word is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. God's people need to do it more. You know how all those old preachers of old wrote big books like this big and commentaries and stuff like that? Do you know what they did all day? They didn't have television. They meditated on God's Word. They would take one verse and they would break that verse down and write chapters on that one verse, or sometimes one word. Why? Because they thought that highly of God's Word.
Yeah, amen.
And they wanted to feed it to the people because they knew they needed it so desperately. And what God's people need tonight is more of this Bible in their hearts.
Amen.
And in their minds. Because Satan's trying to fill your mind with everything else. In this world is trying to distract you.
Yeah.
All day, every day. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Okay. Another question. Do you delight yourself in his statutes? Is his word your delight? I hope it is. Amen?
Amen?
I hope that it is. Do you forget His Word? Well, if you don't meditate on His Word, you are going to forget His Word. You will forget it. It'll happen. It'll happen. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes. You know, if you're not obeying God right now and you're living in rebellion, I don't know. Look, I don't know anything about your lives. I don't know anything, and I don't need to know. God knows. Right? But if you're rebelling against God, you need to pray and ask God to open your eyes and show you. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know, every so often, I bug your pastor something fierce. I text him. I'm like, you know what I just saw? And I send it to him back and forth. And I'm sending him stuff. But he does the same thing to me. But I send him stuff. All these things that the Lord shows me.
Amen.
By just studying it. Why? Because God is opening mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And God is not a respecter of persons. He'll show you. If you desire it. If you desire it. Oh, look at this one. I am a stranger in the earth. Are you? You know, we're to walk as pilgrims, right?
Right.
And strangers. Amen. We're not to be comfortable in this world. Let me ask you a question. Are you a little too comfortable in the world? Do you get along a little too well with the world? Or do they get along a little too well with you? I don't mean are you kind to people, because we ought to be kind to everybody. Even those that hate us, especially those that hate us. It makes our testimony stronger. It makes our light shine brighter. Amen?
Amen.
But let me ask you a question. Are you a little too comfortable in this world? It's funny because when we go out to preach, and we don't even have to have a lot of stuff on or signs or that, we can go out the street, man, they know right away. Oh man, who are these guys? They're just all staring at us outside of these events.
Yeah.
Why? Because they know. They know something's different. Right? They see our children in public. They know something's different. They do, don't they? They notice it right away. They see it. Are you a stranger in the earth? David said, hide not thy commandments from me. David wanted God to reveal things to him.
Amen.
So he could obey Him. He could follow Him. Do you want God to do that? I think sometimes we're afraid for God to show us stuff. Because we're going to have to get right with Him. We might have to let go of one of our pet sins that we love. We might have to let go of something that may not necessarily be sinful, but it's a distraction to us, and we don't want to give it up.
Yeah.
Is there something like that in your life that, you get an uneasy feeling about it? You don't really think that God's well pleased with that. But you're like, well, it's a gray area. Come on. It's a gray area. No, it's not a gray area. I think you know. We all know, don't we? We know there's that one thing that we're supposed to not be partaking in that we're kind of on the edge about. We don't feel right exactly. We wouldn't want to go tell the preacher. We wouldn't want to go tell other people that we're probably doing that, right? Right? Or you know what? I'll make it one step further. There might be something that preachers, we got something like that. We don't want to tell you. Because you might think less of us.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about something extremely sinful. I'm talking about a distraction. I'm talking about something that doesn't please the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I get convicted about the most when it comes to this, and I know this is overly practical, preacher. I know it is. It's probably overly practical. It's probably too plain for you. But listen, I find that these things hurt the most when they're the simplest. Because it's something that we don't want to deal with.
Right.
The simple things. But you know what? There are some things that we can get ourselves into that God's not well pleased with. And you know, one of those things is wasting time. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I really believe that the one thing that God's people are going to answer for is the amount of time that they wasted. Right? Idle time, right? The time that you ever been close to... I started to see, a pattern in my own life here that, if I'm idle, I tend to gear towards getting into trouble if I'm not careful.
Yep.
Or getting into something I don't need to. And I don't mean anything... overly, I'm not talking about wicked pornography or anything like that. I'm just talking about just time wasters. Things that are getting you off where you don't need to be, where God doesn't want you. Where you're just wasting time. And that time could be given to God. It could be given to God's Word. But we're wasting it. And we're going to answer to God for that.
Amen.
We are going to answer to God for that. Think about it, please. David said, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. His soul breaketh. It means he was heartbroken over it. He was broken over it. You remember when you first got saved, how tender you were to the Word of God? Do you remember at different times in your life when you weren't cold, when a preacher would stand up and preach and you would bawl your head off? Do you ever remember that when your heart would be broken over your sin and God was dealing with you? That's what David is talking about here. David goes on to say, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Do err from thy commandments. He rebukes the proud. How do you know? Because I've been proud before. He's rebuked me. And it don't feel good. It hurts. God has a way of making it hurt real good, which is the kindest thing He can do to His children. David said, "Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." You know what? The princes of this world, they hate this book. And they're going to continue to hate it. And you know what? When we go out and we preach in the open air, you'd be surprised all the enemies we have. Man, they call the cops on us. And I got to go through the whole First Amendment thing with the cops. And they come, man, they come. "Look, you're going to have to be quiet." "No, sir, I don't have to be quiet." "Yes, we're going to write you for disorderly conduct." "No, sir, you can't write me a ticket for disorderly conduct. It's freedom of speech. I can stand on the street corner." "No, I had a banker, man, I had this banker admit to me one day." He's a bigwig in the town in Northfield, Minnesota. It was the same bank, I think, that Jesse James robbed, or tried to rob anyway and got shot. His buddies did. But anyway, right? So I'm standing on that street corner and I'm preaching on that street corner, and he comes out and he says, "You get off my sidewalk right now."
Whoa.
And I went. And I said, "No, this is not your sidewalk, sir. This is public." "Well, I have to shovel it." "Well, tough taters, but it's not your sidewalk, okay?" "Yeah, thank you. Thank you, but I don't have to move because you shoveled this sidewalk." And I said, "I know you'd like to run," because the whole town wanted to run me out of town, but like they did Jesse. But he said to me, he said, "I'd like to run you out of town." I said, "I know you would, but you can't." I mean, we had him chasing us with leaf blowers no, I'm not kidding you. They chased us with leaf blowers. They're running, trying to drown us out. They had a whole group of transgender sodomite, like 12-year-olds, every year at this event. Every year, they're like 10 and 12 years old. And they try to get the townspeople. "Well, we need to pass something in the city council to try to get you so you can't do that anymore." I said, "Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. I want to be there when you do it. Let me know when it is. I'll show up." Because you can't do it. And the police, thank God for the police. I'm telling you, I've never had a problem. One time one of them tried to arrest me. Told me to leave the park and said I had to leave. And I said, "No, sir, I don't." And he said he's going to arrest me. I said, "Well, we'll live to fight another day." And I just left because I didn't want to get into a confrontation with him anyway. So I just left. And then I talked to the chief of police, sat down with the chief of police, had a talk with him a few times, and he was a good guy, and he respected the First Amendment, and he said, "You know, you have the right to do this." And we worked a deal out and kind of worked some things out to where we would do as much as we could to be polite to people and you know, try to work it all out. And we did. Amen? We did.
Amen.
But we did. And you know what? I say that. It's kind of funny because I wasn't planning on saying that, but it has a lot to do with civil government and what we're talking about with Romans 13. Now, listen, that guy wanted me to obey man over God. And I said, "No, I can't. I'm going to preach here on this street corner." Because any sodomite can come out here and they can say whatever they want.
Amen.
And they can do their gay parades and they can do all their other stuff out here. Then I can stand up here and I can preach the Bible right here.
Right.
And I can hand out tracts. And you, wouldn't you know it? See, some of you don't think the book of Acts things in the book of Acts are still happening today, but they are. If you get out on the street, you'll figure it out. Because remember when the merchants went after Paul and drug them all in and said, "Hey, you can't do that. Hey, I had the whole town of merchants come after me. They said, you can't preach here." And they tried to drive us out. Amen? Didn't work. But they tried. What were we doing? Preaching the Bible. Look, I have a video out there that has 200,000 hits or more on it. And you know what it's about? The devils come out when you preach in the open air.
Yeah.
You ought to watch that little video. And watch how that... The first time we went out preaching like that, you know what happened? Man, I had sodomites doing cartwheels down the road. They were flipping out, going insane, running around like a bunch of maniacs, looking like a bunch of Fruit Loops running down the road. I mean, they were crazy looking. Crazy looking! They went nuts. The whole town was going nuts. And all we were doing was preaching.
They're full of devils.
They are full of devils. And you know something? One day I said, I'll tell you what. I said, watch this. I said, I bet you they said, well, it's your tone. If you just tone it down a little bit, preacher, and if you just said things a little bit nicer, then those people wouldn't get mad at you. I said, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. I showed my guys one time, I said, I'm going to stand out here, and all I'm going to do is read verses about Jesus. I'm not going to say anything about sin or anything. I'm just going to read about Jesus. Man, they gave me the finger. They gave me the salute. They cussed me out. They said everything they could. They were mad as devils.
Yeah, they are.
Why?
Because
they hate Jesus.
Right.
Figure it out. It doesn't matter how you say it. It matters that you say it. That's what it was about. And that's what it is about. If you lift up this word, it has power. And the devil knows it. And when you go out there into the world, you are on his territory. He's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And the God of this world hath what? Blinded them. And they are blinded. So the princes of this world, they're blind too. Because if they'd have known that Jesus was the Lord, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory, the Bible says. But they did. Because they were blinded. The God of this world blinded them. All right, I don't know how many more I'm going to read, but I'll keep going a little bit, and then I'm going to pack it up here. All right. My soul, let's go to verse number 25. My soul cleaveth, 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. I want to stop here and say something to you. Do you believe God's Word is all sufficient? Do you believe that? That it is inspired of God? That it is perfect? I got to stop here and say this before I get back to that point, and it's this. Pastor Mike, I had a missionary guy one time, and he was online, and we went to the same sending church. And this missionary guy, he used the King James only, but he didn't believe that the King James Bible was perfect. He believed it had errors in it. And I pinned him down on that post, and I said, yeah, he said, we believe it's the preserved Word of God. I asked him, but is it perfect? No answer. But is it perfect? No answer. But is it perfect? No answer. And this is a Bible translator that was translating into the Romanian language. He would not say that the King James Bible was perfect. Why? Because his own intellect tried to tell him differently. And he believed that above the Word of God. And I thank God that I'm not that smart.
Amen.
What does this verse say? It says, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Now, pastors love to counsel people. If they can help them, I should say they love to. We do counsel people, and we want to help them. Amen. So it's not always fun, though. It's sometimes very heartbreaking. But do you know that a lot of pastors prescribe this? They say, you know, well, let me ask you a question before I meet with you. Have you been praying and reading your Bible? Now, whether you agree with their logic or not, or their method or not, there's a lot of truth to what they're saying there. And let me ask you something. Is God's Word your counselor? You know, a while back, God whipped me pretty sore, brother, because I sought out the arm of the flesh more than God's Word to counsel me. And God dealt with me. And He will deal with all of His children for that. God's Word is a counselor. It is the counselor for you. That doesn't mean it's wrong to go get help from your pastor. If you need help, go get help. Amen. God gave you a pastor for a reason, to shepherd the flock. Amen. But He gave you His Word for you to go to right away. You know what? Pastor Mike might not be able to answer the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. But you know what you can turn to at 3 o'clock in the morning? It's always there. And how do I know that? Because God took my sleep away from me for about 3 months one time. And I'll tell you something. I knew where that Word was all night long. I'm telling you what, there'd be times that where I said, Lord, can I go to sleep now? Not yet. Finally, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, God, can I go to sleep? Yep, okay, go to bed. that taught me to love God's Word more. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy Word. Brother Mike, that word quicken means life, doesn't it? How are you quickened? Thy Word. God's Word gives life. Is life. Is life. Quicken thou me according to thy Word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy Word. Has your soul ever melted? Have you ever been broken down to where you couldn't get up off the floor? And all you had was God's Word to lift you up. And if it wasn't for God's Word, you wouldn't be able to get up.
Amen.
I've been there. I know what that's like. I know that it got me through many nights where I would have probably went insane if I hadn't had it. Does that sound too dramatic to you? Because it really isn't. I'm not being dramatic. I'm not being dramatic. I'm telling you that there's been nights where this Word got me through the night. My soul melted for heaviness, he said. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Do you want that? Do you want God to remove the way of lying from you? So, Lord, don't let me lie. I don't want to be a liar. I don't want to do that, Lord. I don't want to live my life that way. Amen?
Amen.
Grant me thy law graciously. What does that word grant mean? Did you know it means gift? Same as a gift. To grant something is to give it. It's a gift. God's Word is a gift. I hope you believe that. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments. When thou shalt enlarge my heart, God will enlarge your heart for Him. You have a problem loving people sometimes? Man, I do. People can be mean. Right? They can be mean. But God will enlarge your heart, make you love people more. How? Getting this book in you. Getting this book in you. Man, you know what it's like, don't you? There's been times where you've been like, oh, I can't be around anybody. And you got to get alone with God. And you get alone with His Word. And He feeds you. And He brings peace to your soul. And He comforts your heart, and you're strengthened. And you can go out and you can love people. Amen?
Amen.
You know, some of the worst days you'll have is when you don't start them out with the Word of God.
Yeah.
You'll be cranky. You won't be kind to people. You'll be short with them. Right? You won't have any grace for them at all. You ever experienced that? Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. You ought to pray for the grace of God to preserve you unto the end. Now listen, I believe exactly the way Pastor Mike said. I don't believe somebody believes for 5 seconds, says a prayer, and then they don't believe the rest of their life. They've got no. The Bible says that those that are on good ground, they have that faith with patience. It endures all the way. Right? With patience they bring forth. That's real Bible faith. By the way, I'm going to say this to you, and he kind of said it. I don't believe in a gospel that doesn't change someone.
Amen.
I do not believe that gospel.
Amen.
I believe in a gospel that absolutely changes a man and makes him a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They are different. They are new. If you are the same old person you always were, then you've never been born again.
Amen. Amen.
I had one preacher say it this way. When something so big as the Holy Ghost comes inside of you, there's got to be some changes and it's going to come out.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You better remember that.
Right.
If you received the gospel that didn't change you, you didn't receive the gospel of the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. You remember that? God's Word changes people. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for herein do I delight. He says here, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. I'm not going to read the rest of this, but I will say verse 37 says, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity.
Amen to that. Amen.
God help us. This world wants to stoke your vanity. It wants to throw every vain thing it can at you. And our carnal natures will receive it. God will bring you to a place. Look what he says here. And quicken thou me in thy way. I hope you want God to speak his word in your heart. I'm not going to finish reading this. I think I've read enough of it. I mean, we could read it all night long. There's like 176 verses, Pastor Mike. It goes on and on and on. But I want to ask you, do you really hide God's word in your heart? Do you want to follow His precepts? Do you want this book to be your guide? We've already talked about all week long that this King James Bible is the inspired, infallible, perfect Word of God. We've showed you the false perversions out there that have taught something completely different. We showed you the spirit that is behind those things. But I'm talking to God's people tonight. I'm talking about the ones that say that they believe this book. Will you follow the Lord? Will you be faithful? Will you stand for God? Because it's going to be tested. My friends, it is going to be tested. Remember that. This world is about... Well, Pastor Mike says the shaking is coming.
Yeah, it is.
That's why you were exhorted to stand.
Yeah.
Because everybody around you is going to fall. And if you're not real, I want to ask you tonight, have you been saved by the grace of God? Are you born again by the Spirit of God? If you were to die right now, do you know your sins are forgiven you? Do you know that you have a home in heaven? Do you know that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Does His Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? Have you repented and put your faith in Christ? Your sin and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you saved? And you out there that are listening online, let me ask you, have you received the gospel that saves men's souls? Jesus, the Son of God, who died on the cross for your sins, who was buried and rose again from the dead. Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe what Jesus says? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Do you believe that it took the blood of Christ to be shed for your sins? And I mean every drop of blood. I believe all of it was shed for me because it was necessary to make atonement for your soul. Do you understand that if you're not born again by the Spirit of God and the Antichrist would show up on the scene tomorrow, the falling away takes place and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. He is going to come on the scene. You know, by the way, when he was talking about Saul there, Saul is a picture of that king that will rule this world. Because this world and the Jewish nation rejected Jesus Christ, their Messiah. They put Him to death. They put Him to death. And Saul is a picture of that, I believe. Saul is a picture of the Antichrist that will rule. Why? Because God's going to give them somebody after their own heart. The Antichrist will give them whatever they want. You might be sitting here tonight, and some of you young people might be sitting here tonight and saying, you know what? I'm just doing this as long as I have to until I get out of my house so I can go out of my parents' house and I grow up and I can live any old way I want to. Well, I'm going to tell you something, as firmly and as kindly as I can say it to you, you're going to die and go to hell in your sins. You're guilty before God, and if you were to die right now, you would burn in hell for all of eternity.
Amen.
Hell is real, hell is hot, and sinners go there. And you must be born again. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, you need to be saved by the grace of God. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you know what? After you're saved, the Bible says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let me ask you a question. Have you been born again? Are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Do you know when it happened? Can you take yourself back to the time? Could you explain your testimony to anybody. They just say, you know what? I know the day the Lord saved me. I know when it was. I know when He washed me in His own blood. I know when He forgave my sins. I know when I was born again. I hope you have that time. You better, because if you don't, say, well, I'm young. I'm not going to die anytime soon. Boy, that's an awful bet you're taking. I wouldn't make a bet like that. You're not God. You don't know when you're going to die. So you're trying to scare me. You bet I am. I hope it's working. I want you to understand that there's a real judgment upon sin. That God spared not His own Son for your sins. Do you understand that? And if He gave Him up freely for us all, how much more will the judgment of God be upon those that trample on the blood of Christ? If you reject the word of the Lord, if you reject Christ, you will accept the Antichrist. Do you understand that? If you reject this book, if you reject Jesus Christ, then you will accept the Antichrist. See, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that God will send them strong delusion. What, that they would believe a lie. Why? They all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness, Romans chapter 1 tells us. And then it tells us there that they would not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They wouldn't receive it. That means they are people. Listen, I don't care if you're a pastor's kid. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter. Amen. You need to be saved. So you're picking on people. No, I'm not. I want to make sure you know you're going to heaven. Your sins are forgiven you. Sin's an awful thing to be on your soul. There is no price you can pay but eternity in hell that will never pay your debt. Do you understand that? God takes sin seriously. He takes your lying, your fornication, your wickedness, your vileness, your perversion, all of that. He takes it serious. Drunkenness, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, right? Disobeying your parents, anger, wrath, malice, hate. All of those things are sins. And you know, it only takes one of those to qualify you for hell. One. One. That's it. That's why Jesus said, marvel not. You must be born again. You've got to be forgiven of your sins. If you're here tonight, you're not saved. Come to the cross and get born again by the Spirit of God. Believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, for He is well able to save your soul. And He is full of grace and mercy, and He died for your sins. And you do deserve to go to hell. And I won't preach a gospel to you that tells you anything different. You do deserve to go to hell. You're as dirty and rotten as the Bible says. The Bible says that you and I, our good works and everything we do, they're filthy rags unto God. That's bloody, putrid, dirty rags to God. Do you understand that? Say, I'm not that bad of a person. Yes, you are. And the longer you get saved, the more you realize how actually bad you really are. Amen? But if you're here tonight and you don't think you're that bad, you think your sins are sanctified somehow, or you have some kind of Christian sins that are sanctified, you're going to die and go to hell if you've never been born again. If you've never trusted Christ, if you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. I don't want you to. This pastor doesn't want you to. I want you to have a real Bible faith that changes your life. That you'll actually love this book. That you'll come to church and you'll love to hear the Word of God preached. That you'll want to be here. That you'll want to grow in the Lord. That it'll bear much fruit. That it's not some kind of exercise that you have to do. It's not something you're forced to do, but it's the love of God in your heart shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. I want you to be saved. Listen, if you're dead in trespasses and sins tonight, you can be forgiven of your sins. Please don't wait. And if you need to see somebody after the service, if you need to come talk to somebody, they'll take a King James Bible and make sure you know how you can be born again by the Spirit of God. And you know what happens? When you believe on the Son of God, when you repent and put your faith and trust in Christ, you are saved immediately. And if it's real Bible faith, it'll never leave you.
Amen?
Because it's good ground. And it'll produce more fruit. Some 30, some 60. Some 100.